Have you seen this TV ad?
At Geico.com, you can handle all your car insurance needs online. It's so easy, a caveman could do it.
Seriously, we apologize. We had no idea you guys were still around.
Yeah, next time maybe do a little research.
Eric Trinkus has done plenty of research. He's an anthropologist at Washington University in St. Louis and one of the world's leading scholars on Neanderthals. He told Steve Paulson that many of our assumptions about Neanderthals and our own ancestors, early modern humans, are just plain wrong.
Neanderthals were not that different from us. If you look at the associated archaeological remains of the Neanderthals and the early modern humans, they're essentially indistinguishable. They're indistinguishable in terms of technology. They're indistinguishable in terms of social behavior. The Neanderthals were the first humans to intentionally bury their dead.
How long ago was that?
The oldest Neanderthal burial we have is about 100,000 years old. Neanderthals independently evolved social behaviors such as personal body ornamentation. That's a very distinctively human characteristic where you're essentially changing your whole social appearance. Neanderthals did a number of these things. And so when these two groups encountered each other, they may have looked a little different. They may have appeared a little different one to the other, but they were all dirty. They were all smelly. They were making a living in the very same way off the landscape, and there weren't very many of them around.
Now, you've said that in many ways, early modern humans and Neanderthals were indistinguishable, I mean, particularly in terms of culture. Mm-hmm. What about in appearance? What were some of the differences?
The early modern humans that spread into Europe were generally taller and slenderer, a more linear body build, whereas Neanderthals were a bit shorter, not terribly short by modern human standards. You know, an adult male Neanderthal on average would have been about 5'6", 5'7", adult female 5'2". But they were very stocky. And so you had differences in body build. And Neanderthals had bigger faces, more projecting faces, big noses, and they were very muscular.
I've also heard that they had bigger brains.
Actually, Neanderthals and early modern humans had brains that were indistinguishable in size. But the problem, of course, is that brain size is, as an absolute value, isn't very meaningful. You have to scale it to body size. Bigger people have bigger brains because they have bigger bodies to control neurologically. So Neanderthals were shorter but very stocky. The early modern humans were very tall, more linear. Their body sizes were very similar and generally larger than most recent human populations. As a result of that, they had bigger brains. And actually, if you look at brain size over the subsequent 30,000 years, it gradually decreases as body size decreases. And then in the last couple of centuries, as people have started to get bigger, it's starting to go back up again.
That's fascinating. For one thing, I had no idea that Neanderthals and early modern humans were so tall. I had just assumed that human beings have just been gradually getting taller over the eons.
Actually, the earliest modern humans, the ones particularly in the period around 30 to 25,000 years ago, where we have a number of skeletons, the average male height, and this is average male height, was somewhere around 5'10", 5'11", which by living human standards is very tall.
Right.
You know, there are relatively few populations in the modern world where the average male height is that tall. And females were a little bit shorter, but in the same proportion as most recent populations. Those were very tall people. And they were also people who were doing very well as hunter-gatherers. There weren't that many of them around. In most environments, there was plenty of food. They had the technology and the organization to exploit it effectively. And we have archaeological sites from around the time period of 25, 26, 27,000 years that are just tremendously rich sites where people are very effectively essentially harvesting game animals. They're making fired ceramics. They have textiles as well as they're trapping fur animals. They're doing all the kinds of stuff that we associate not only with very effective, you know, recent hunter-gatherers like historic Eskimos living in harsh environments, but they're also doing a variety of things that we normally associate only with settled agricultural populations. And when we look at their bones, they're generally very healthy.
If some of these early modern humans were plopped down into our world today and dressed up as we are dressed up, would they look different?
No. They would fit right into our population, you know, especially the American population, which tends to be fairly tall. They would fit right in. You know, some of them may appear to have large faces compared to most modern humans. On average, they had larger teeth than we do and a variety of little details like that. But if you saw walking across the campus here, you know, sort of in the back of your mind, you might say, oh, that guy's probably, you know, on athletic scholarship or something like that because he has the body build to do that. But other than that, you wouldn't necessarily notice them.
And in terms of intelligence, from what we can tell from the brains of those human beings 30,000 years ago?
We really can't tell anything from the brains. We know how big their brains are because we have the bony box that they were in, but we know nothing about the wiring. Where we can tell intelligence is from the archaeological material they leave behind, the artifacts and decorative objects. And these are completely modern humans. You know, they would have no trouble going through universities, medical schools, law schools, whatever, and behaving in the modern world. And I would bet that although Neanderthals would look a bit different, I would bet that if you had a Neanderthal child raised in a family in middle-class America, that they would probably do just fine as well.
Now, the thing that's surprising to me from what you say about Neanderthals is that they seem to be very well adapted to making a living on Earth. I mean, they were smart. They were muscular. I mean, physically, it would seem that they were especially well-suited to living a rather rugged lifestyle. And yet, they're not the ones who've come down to us, really, who've made us what we are today.
Yeah, Neanderthals were very successful. You know, if you put it in terms of time and space, what we call Neanderthals were around for, you know, well in excess of 100,000 years. They seem to have lived in very low population densities on the landscape. They seem to have had, what we can infer indirectly, they seem to have had relatively unstable populations, that is, as local populations that under environmental stress crashed or people died out. And they had a lot of stress. They have a lot of broken bones, healed, which means they survived them. They have a lot of indicators of childhood stress, so seasonal starvation kinds of stress. For reasons that are not simply ones of intelligence or technology, the early modern humans were much more successful. And my bet, but this is something that's very hard to test, my bet is that we're looking at social organization. We're looking at the ways in which people were coordinating activities in sort of larger scale groups.
So the early modern humans tended to go around in bigger groups, and presumably they were better organized.
Yeah, that's the hypothesis. That's sort of the way of looking at it. And we have some indirect indications of that, some more indications of, for example, more specialization of activities.
Give me an example.
Well, for example, we know perfectly well that Neanderthals were able to hunt animals from small deer, goat, wild goat, up to the size of horses and do it effectively. But the weaponry that they had for that was weaponry that they would have made in the short term perfectly effective, but probably not very highly refined. One of the things we see with early modern humans is a great refinement of their weaponry. These are spears, but they're putting a lot more time and effort into making very effective points, very elaborate hafts so they can replace the points when they break. Clearly, an investment of somebody who's going to do this over and over again. And what this tends to imply is that there are some segment of the population who are, in effect, specialized hunters, and they are hunting for the larger group and then sharing that with things that other people are producing and processing. When we get into the period certainly by 27,000 years ago, where they're making ceramics, they're making textiles, they're processing furs, they're doing all of these kinds of things, it's very likely that you're looking at some pattern of division of labor. It could be sexual division of labor, males and females, it could be by age, but most likely it's going to be by who happens to be good at this as opposed to who happens to be good at that.
I'm trying to wrap my head around what you're saying, because you're really kind of demystifying these early modern humans. I mean, you're kind of saying, well, you know, 30,000 years ago, they frankly weren't that different than we are today. I mean, really, what we have is we have the accumulation of knowledge, of culture and science and all
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. You know, we have no problem at all looking at, you know, peasants living in the Middle Ages and saying, these are people who, if they were alive today, would fit right into any modern technical society. You know, they just happened to be living in the Middle Ages and they were poor peasants and they were starving and, you know, they had wooden tools and hardly any steel tools because they couldn't afford them, et cetera. And we see that purely in a cultural historical sense, not in terms of any real change in human biology. Okay. We're talking about the exact same kind of contrast, except magnified many, many times, because we're not going back 1,000 years, we're going back 25 or 30,000 years. I think what's happened with many people is they see modern humans biologically as something very special. the Neanderthals are different. They're human, but, you know, they're not quite us. You know, the whole idea of Neanderthals and modern humans interbreeding, some people think this is wonderful, and other people say, well, you know, that's, you know, it's just...
There's something a little kind of monster-like
about them. Yeah, you just don't do that kind of thing. But if you start out looking at what we know from the archaeology, from the artifacts and the archaeological sites, we have no problem at all having this go all the way back in time. There's absolutely no reason why Neanderthals could not have been, in effect, a simpler version of later hunters and gatherers.
Eric Trinkus is an anthropologist at Washington University in St. Louis. He talked with Steve Paulson.